Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Murder Board Podcast, the anthology podcast of fictional mystery horror stories told episodically. I'm your narrator, Walter Williams III. The voices featured on tonight's episode will be Zaria Martin, Shelton Norman, Jeanette Wu, Salo Castillo, Hector Davila. These stories and characters are fictionalized and based on my life and the people in it. Episodes of the podcast may contain offensive language, uncomfortable subject matter, as well as descriptions of horror and gore. Tonight, we will be continuing the never-ending murder train. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Part 4, Gorilla.
Present day. The downtown library is currently under lockdown. As a rainstorm plays outside, the building is surrounded by local police. Inside, police and security guards were to keep the people calm and get them moving outside in an orderly fashion. Caught in the middle is Shelton, holding a book titled The Mystery of the Blue Train. Walking into the building wet from the rain is Walter and Zaria, coming straight from seeing Savannah. Zaria goes and hugs Shelton, with Walter looking around.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Jesus, what happened? We leave you alone for one day and you end up in the middle of a crime scene? What's next, getting kidnapped?
Not funny. Seriously, what happened?
Me and Javon were doing research. Next thing I know, he's gone and the power goes out.
Well, where is he now?
Javon's voice rings from above them, causing them to look up. Javon is standing on the second floor of the library.
Like that was gonna happen.
Up here, Zaria. You're gonna need to see this.
Zaria turns to Shelton and Walter.
Stay here.
Zaria walks away and begins climbing the stairs. Walter turns to Shelton.
Yeah, right.
At least she didn't say, I'll be right back.
Walter walks off to follow Zaria.
Dude, I'm on crutches.
Zaria and Javon meet upstairs and Javon guides her through. They come upon a curtained room where the police had taped up. Javon prepares Zaria. Walter and Shelton show up from behind. Zaria turns to them.
I told y'all to stay.
Listen, what's in here might trigger you, but I do think you all need to see this.
Dude, where did you go?
Is someone dead?
After spending hours trying to find the info on that train, Shelton realized that we should look into the people he pointed out on the murder board in Memphis. I went to look the people up when I heard some people complaining about the smell coming from upstairs. So I went to check it out with some of the security guards, and this is what I found.
Javon opens the curtains and guides the others in. The room is a small area where lots of decorations and various holidays seem to be stored. On the far back wall was a children puppet show, and propped up on it with string was no doubt a dead body. But this body has been dead for a while, 2 years to be exact, for the body hanging up was Mike, decomposed and stitched together with string, the string stitched into the skin.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry, guys. We can go ahead and step out.
Once out of the room, Zaria begins breathing rapidly.
You okay, Z?
I just need a minute, please.
While Zaria gathers herself together, Javon keeps going and pulls out a clear plastic bag containing another book. He pulls it out and opens it up, and Walter grabs it.
This was found sitting underneath
Dante's Inferno.
The hell is that?
It's a story about a guy visiting the nine circles of hell.
Walter gives the book back to Javon, and then takes the book Shelton has been carrying.
What are you doing with this?
I found out that one of the passengers on the train was holding it in the picture. And check this out. The library only has 3 copies, one of which is checked out by someone named A. Lang consecutively.
The name A. Lang sparks a light bulb in Javon's head.
A. Lang? I found that same name. Actually, I think I found some of the names of the people on the train.
Javon pulls out a small stack of printed paper.
A. Lang could be Angelica Lang. She was a young and up-and-coming actress who went missing after having been suspect in a murder trial, but it was proven that she wasn't involved. And then a name connected to that trial was a man by the name of Detective Harvey Hansen. He was known as a crooked cop who did everything like planting evidence and killing off witnesses before a case went to trial. He went missing around the same time. And there was this woman by the name of Kimmy Tosh, young and rich socialite whose family came overseas and just dominated the business world at the time. She was reported missing as well.
As the boys continue to talk through the research, Daria clears her head and walks back into the curtain room with Mike's body and the officers there working on taking it down. She takes a moment to think about everything. The train, the murder board in Memphis, Mike's body, the inside of the train, she visualizes them. At the same time, Walter is putting pieces of the puzzles together as well, thinking about books and the body, asking himself,
what's the connection?
Suddenly, Daria approaches the group.
A ritual. The killer isn't fulfilling a fantasy. He's been performing rituals. None of this has been random. He's been trying to communicate something, and I think he's finally found the right words.
He's got a god complex.
No, not just a god complex. Think about it. He's been killing so you know he can easily take lives. Now with Mike's body, he's showing you that he can give life, or a form of it. Add in Dante's Inferno and the pentagram he found on the train, and you get...
the devil. Our killer thinks he's the devil.
...1950s timeline. Dante finds himself in a state of shock as two of his passengers, James and Kimmy, bang on the door to let them in. He caves and lets them in as they scream in panic. Dante closes the door. Looking back, he sees Kimmy and James with confused looks on and covered in ashes. James manages to stand up.
What the hell kind of train is this? Why is there a fucking gorilla?
Oh, what?
You heard him. A gorilla was in the engine room. It grabbed Richard and threw him in the furnace.
The hell were you doing in there? I told you to stay and don't move.
I don't think you heard us correctly. There's a big-ass monkey running around on the goddamn train.
Dante goes to look at the window on the door, but sees nothing. He then shuffled around his desk and pulls out a large book, whispering to himself. Oh, Lord. This wasn't the part of the plan. How did we not see this? Dante closes the book and begins to walk back to the dining cart.
Where are you going?
We need to find the others right now. We have less than an hour.
Till what?
Till we reach our destination, Mr. Ripley. Albert and Harvey find themselves back in the dining cart after having been running. They stop for a breath. Harvey goes to the bar and fixes a drink.
The hell are you doing?
Getting some oxygen.
Harvey opens the bottle and chugs it.
So you're a serial killer.
Albert ignores the scared drunk and begins thinking. He looks out the window and then he sees the sun setting.
Something's wrong with this train. There are only 6 carts and the others were coming from the engine room. So how did they get there without us seeing them?
I thought you were a biologist. What are you talking about?
Albert then exits the cart and enters the second class cart. Harvey stumbles after. Once Albert reaches the engine room door, he stops and looks back. He sees Harvey stumbling after him. He continues to focus on his thought process. Harvey catches up and Albert begins speaking frantically.
This is the engine room that should be at the front of the train, meaning Dante's office is right past the door. But we just left Dante's office and ran through the passenger carts.
What are you saying? We've been going in circles? Is the train going in circles?
Suddenly, heavy breathing begins to rattle their ears. Harvey takes one look and is immediately frozen in fear. Albert, on the other hand, takes a longer look. He recognizes the breathing now in front of him. The large gorilla standing on all fours mounts himself in front of the doctor. The ape begins to walk towards him, forcing the two men to walk backwards into the second class passenger cart. Once in the light, the gorilla is seen for the monstrosity it is. The gorilla is almost hairless, covered in burn scars and stitches.
What the fuck is that?
Albert turns and smiles.
My greatest creation. An artificially made ape-human hybrid. Both the past and future together. Like I said, I'm a man of science.
Just as Albert finishes his sentence, the gorilla grabs Albert by the head with one hand and lifts him up. Then, with a single squeeze, he crushes Albert's head into mush. Harvey, now screaming at the top of his lungs, begins to crawl away. The gorilla follows after. Just before Harvey can make it to the other cart of the train, he is grabbed by his arm, which becomes torn clean and completely off. This causes him to fall down as blood pools are all around him. The gorilla then stumps on his legs and grabs him by his shoulders and pulls him back until he snaps in half. Present timeline.
Zarya, Javon, Shelton, and Walter are now back at the house. Zarya and Javon work on their case, fitting in the new killer profile. Meanwhile, Walter takes a shower, and Shelton is in the basement getting a beer.
Our killer is dealing with some severe psychosis.
Does that mean Walter is no longer on our list?
Well, he's no longer at the top. He's never been satanic.
One thing's for sure. We can no longer take our time. We need a plan. We need him to come to us before he decides to give another life.
You're talking about baiting him? Kinda unethical.
But it can be effective. You've got to have one hell of an ego to believe you're a devil, which in turn can make you fragile. We just need someone to make the deal.
We need to figure out specifically who he's after.
Well, Walter mentioned he's molding his kills after books. Who's to say he hasn't read Walter's?
Suddenly the gears in Zarya's head click. She knows what she has to do now. Zarya and Javon reach an understanding and go talk to Walter. Walter agrees to call the killer out on a live podcast that night. Walter convinces Shelton to join him. The podcast went as planned, and Walter and Shelton reflected on their attacks. The first time Shelton's opened up publicly. With this, Zarya gains a sense of confidence, or more so power. She finally has control. Once the podcast was posted up, everyone goes off to bed. And in the late hours of the night, horror invites itself in. Coming up from the basement, someone walks around the house and visits everyone's room while they're asleep. Luckily, someone woke up. Javon heard a noise coming from downstairs. He grabbed his gun and slowly made his way out to the upstairs hallway. Unknown to him, the killer was behind him as lightning flashed from outside. Then a gunshot rang out. It was Zarya shooting her gun at the killer, but she missed. The killer then bolted at Javon before he could turn around and stab him in the back with a knife from the kitchen. He then faces Javon toward Zarya, using him as a human shield. Zarya hesitates to take the next shot, and in the return, the killer stabs Javon in the back 5 more times. Before running off, Zarya finally fires back, but misses. Walter runs out of his room, seeing what happens.
It was him.
Walter sees Javon on the floor, bleeding into the carpet of the stairs.
Where's Shelton?
Walter runs down the stairs and looks frantically for Shelton, but all he found was a small pool of blood where his crutches and his wheelchair were in the living room. He looks over and sees the front door wide open as the storm of the night rages on.
And that does it for tonight's episode. Tune in next time for episode 5. Terror Train. If you like the podcast, please give it a like, leave comments for open discussion, and share with family and friends. Also, consider supporting the podcast and help sustain future episodes such as this one by hitting the support button /link down in the show notes. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the Murder Board.
Feel Good Inc. started playing in my head.
You brought a gorilla on the train, you fucking bitch.
I was just a Bruno Mars.
Oh, God. That should have been a line. That's almost a line, honestly. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Murder Board Podcast, the anthology podcast of fictional mystery horror stories told episodically. I'm your narrator, Walter Williams III. The voices featured on tonight's episode will be Zaria Martin, Shelton Norman, Chinedu, Saulo Castillo, and Hector Davila. These stories and characters are fictionalized.
Hell no, nah, you're gonna have to redo that fucking intro. What the fuck you mean? You're gonna have to. What the fuck you mean, bitch?
You're gonna have to redo
that fucking intro. Hell no, keep it like that. What kind of what kind of low budget ass? No. All right, that's all I had to say. You better not fucking keep that in the original fucking.
How do you say it again?
Within the release. That's all I'm saying.
How do you say it again?
All right. As an American, just fucking say it, Hector Davila.
Davila. Okay. Davila. Davila. Davila.
Every American in my life had said it like that. Davila. So.
Sir, I'm African American.
You say it the proper way.
And that's on period.
Like Davila, and it's not Davila. It's Davila, but since you're not Hispanic, I'm going to let you say it like Davila.
Look, yeah, I'm gonna say Davila because I already feel guilty whenever I say Castillo. Like,
yeah, it's already kind of sus. I'm not gonna lie. I would vote you off. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh no.
If you want to pronounce it the American way, it's Castillo. Just
Castillo.
Castillo. Castillo. Okay. Sorry, Saulo. I totally like went back to Castillo. I totally forgot.
No, you're good. No, I figured. It's already like built into your head, so I don't know.
Again, like how to get away with murder. One of their main characters was Castillo, so that's what I think about when I see it. But yeah. I'm sorry. Really quickly before we get started, Gorilla. Gorilla is actually a 1930s or 1940s movie that took place on a about a gorilla on a train, and so that's where I got it from. But. crap! I did have something else I wanted to say, but
so
I can't.
You're one of the only
was.
People that I know that actually sits back and watches movies like from 1920s, 30s, 40s, and like just all
the.
Really
the farthest like, I go back is like the original.
Yeah, the original King Kong is the furthest I go back with.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure they were just wearing. It was just like a human in a suit back then.
Back then, I believe it was stop motion.
Was it claymation?
Was it claymation?
It was like stop motion.
Stop motion.
Not claymation, but stop motion. And then
I know the Godzilla movies were just people in suits.
Yeah, those were definitely people in suits. they did the same thing for King Kong as the years went on. I believe in the 70s they went to the suits.
Dude, that's all we did because he lives up by Nashville Village. So like back then there used to be a Blockbuster. That's all we fucking did was just go and get Godzilla.
Had all the Godzilla weekend.
Hashtag bring back Blockbuster. But yeah, the gorilla is a reference to King Kong. I don't know if you guys remember, but in the first episode, Angelica says that she was up for an 8 movie. That's supposed to be King Kong because it came out around the same, or it would have come out around the same time, or it would have filmed. So Angelica Lang is kind of a reference to Jessica Lang because her first role was in King Kong 1970.
I figured.
Yep. So yeah, we have this whole episode is gonna deal with a gorilla on a train. So it's a big old reference, but it's present timeline. We got Chinette as narrator. We got Zaria, Shelton, me. And Saulo, you're doing Javon.
I thought you said Zaria as Shelton. I'm like, I don't know.
Now I'd pay to see that. That'd be hilarious. Right. Oscar. She's gonna get that Oscar, goddamn.
She's gonna start killing her castmates.
you gotta do to get to the top.
This is basically Zaria's show. She's basically running it.
Something's wrong with this train. There's only 6 carts, and the others. I don't know why I can't get through that one part. I'm gonna get it.
God damn it, Bobby.
Stop!
This is a never-ending train part.
This train is powered by propane and propane accessories. The biggest plot twist, Hank Hill. Okay, go ahead. That's a pretty big reveal, guys. No, I'm just kidding.
That is a big reveal.
I actually was so happy to hear about satanic worshiping and rituals because I'm about that life. Well, I don't summon demons.
There was one year. I came back drunk from a party just to find my roommate doing the fucking Ouija board.
That's when you throw holy water and salt in front of your door.
Oh, I just put my drunk ass to sleep.
She said, I got drunk off of holy water that night.
She just steps out her room, there's pentagrams all over the wall, and like ancient text. And there's blood everywhere. It's like, I got a hangover. I need to get some Alka-Seltzer.
Y'all better clean this shit up when I wake up.
You know, after one of the Conjuring movies, that Ouija board sales actually went up.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that too.
Which cracks me up because in The Conjuring 2, they just make a Ouija board out of it like a cereal box, which is hilarious.
I think that's what they made it out of, a pizza box.
Yeah. So it's like,
point? my roommates made theirs out of a pizza box.
My watch says, almost there, keep moving. I've been sitting the entire time.
Your heart rate.
I swear, these Apple Watches are petty as hell.
Nah, see, my Samsung Gear, that shit works. If I sit down longer than an hour, it tells my fat ass to get up and start moving.
Yes.
It actually doesn't say something till I actually get up and start moving.
As I said before, where the fuck is the proofreading?
Look, man, two people just died from a gorilla, and you want to talk about proofreading right now?
Yes. I would say that this is the most important time to proofread.
Gives Shelton a prosthetic leg, and then the killer just knocks it off him.
That'd be entirely fucked up. Shelton's running.
Shelton should just like try running, and then like the killer should just walk up and like kick one of his crutches.
Stop!
Specifically on the side that's his non-dominant side, the side that he's missing a leg, and let him fall to the ground as he's sitting there trying to crawl away, and the killer just mockingly smiles and looks down at him and says, "You are sad."
And lets him
damn.
That's kind of sad. Oh my god.
You walk away from this one, Shelton? Wait, you're not even walking.
What you say?
Physically unable to walk.
Well, of course you did. What you say?
Shelton's just on the ground.
As he's getting the crutch kicked away from him.
You are terrible.
And that's the end.
What a channel!
Now I remember why it's so short. I didn't want to write all of the dialogue for all this action stuff, so I just made it one long monologue from the narrator.
No.
Yeah. I told, well, as she was reading, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't want to write all of that. So there we go.
I fucking hurt you.